remind us why people felt the need to create this Wilmington Land Bank and its specific mission.
Okay, well, the Land Bank has been talked about in Wilmington for about 5 years. I first heard of it in a conversation about that long ago with people over at Cornerstone West, which is the redevelopment arm of the West End Neighborhood House, which has been active in a lot of the redevelopment revitalization activities on Wilmington's west side. Of course, abandoned property has long been a problem in Wilmington. The foreclosure crisis added to that pressure. If you go almost anywhere in the city, you can see groups of vacant buildings or lots, and you can't do much with them because they've all got different owners. And then on top of that, the city has admitted that it hasn't been doing a great job overseeing all the abandoned property that's under its jurisdiction. So how's the Land Bank a solution? Well, the idea is to put all the vacant properties under the control of a single entity, which could then either sell them individually or package larger blocks of properties to sell to a developer or to repurpose them for a use that benefits the neighborhood.
And this is not necessarily an innovative idea per se. It's been used in a lot of other places, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. In the United States, land banks have been around since 1971. The first one was in St. Louis. Now, if you go back to the 1950s, 1960s, factories were leaving our cities. City residents were flocking to the suburbs, and that left a void. There were these run-down industrial and commercial districts, deteriorating residential neighborhoods. And to some, land banks were seen as a possible solution. But the idea didn't really take hold until the housing bubble burst and the foreclosure crisis followed 9 years ago.
So exactly how do these land banks work, or at least how will the one here in Wilmington work?
In Wilmington's instance, most of the properties in the city's real estate inventory are being transferred to the land bank at no cost to the land bank. The properties the city acquires in the future through foreclosures and sheriff sales will also go to the land bank. The land bank maintains these properties while it figures out what's the best thing to do with them next. Maybe it's demolition. Maybe it's a sale to an individual buyer. Maybe adjoining properties are packaged and transferred to a nonprofit developer like Habitat for Humanity. Or maybe the land might best be used for a park or to meet some other community need. Now, and of course, when these lands are sold to one of these other entities, that money goes back into the land bank's coffers.
So what type of homes does Wilmington's Land Bank generally have in its inventory? And beyond that, who are generally the buyers?
Well, as you might expect, most of them are going to be old row homes. Most often, they've been in neighborhoods where there's been some sort of a disconnect in the real estate market. They're not in places where you would go and put up a for sale sign and get a buyer within a week or two. Now, some of these houses are small and have two bedrooms. Some are larger ones. They've got four. But pretty much all of them do need a lot of work. It doesn't mean that they're falling apart, but they do need a lot of work. And because these homes need some work, and maybe this is going to cost $100,000 even to get them up to snuff and, you know, looking good in the way a buyer would want, the land bank is trying to sell them for bargain prices, $2,000 to $5,000 in most cases. And they're also going to provide some hand-holding to the buyers as they find the contractors to do all this necessary rehab work. Now, they're still working out all of those details. That's a month or two away. But buyers are going to have to take care of any of the rehab work within a year, and if they don't do it, they risk having to give their property back to the land bank.
So what has the land bank accomplished so far since being created 2 years ago? It is about to take a big step forward, as you just alluded to actually going out there and selling properties to buyers.
Well, it's been mostly working in the background for 2 years. The General Assembly passed legislation permitting the creation of land banks in Delaware in the spring of 2015. The Wilmington City Council authorized creation of the Wilmington Land Bank towards the end of 2015. It took most of 2016 to appoint a board and to have the board secure nonprofit status, write its bylaws, and do all those organizational sort of things. Then in February, the board hired an executive director, Christian Willauer, who used to be the director of Cornerstone West at the West End Neighborhood House. And she has spent most of the last 8 months pulling these basic pieces together, raising money, getting insurance, developing a system for managing the properties, figuring out how this operation is going to work on a day-to-day basis.
clearly, funding is a big piece of this puzzle. And on that front, as we mentioned at the beginning of this segment, there is some good news for the Land Bank recently in the form of $1 million grant from Barclaycard U.S. How big a deal is this funding for allowing this Land Bank to really kind of take off and prosper?
Well, without exaggeration, it's a really big deal. The Land Bank has received a little bit more than $2 million from the city and from the state combined. So the grant from Barclaycard amounts to about one-third of its cash on hand. It's also the largest grant that Barclaycard has ever made in Delaware. So that tells you that they think the project is important and that the need is great. More significantly, Wilmington Mayor Mike Przycki notes that Wilmington hasn't been doing a great job over the years with abandoned properties. So this grant isn't based on anyone's past performance. Rather, it's based on the hope and the expectation that this new nonprofit entity can do a better job than the city was doing in getting these abandoned properties and vacant blighted properties into a better use, more productive use.
And there is a hope, I guess, that money will follow money, that this grant will be just the first of others who might be willing to invest in this initiative.
Well, that's true. The Land Bank did have one other grant, I think it was like $40,000 from Capital One, but Jocelyn Stewart, who's the community reinvestment officer at Barclay and is also on the Board of Governors of the Land Bank, is really hopeful that this $1 million that Barclay has put up is going to serve as an inspiration, a motivation, a catalyst to other financial institutions, to other businesses who have a stake in the city, to put up some money to add a little bit more punch and power to this project.
You mentioned that the city's track record in this area has not been especially great. So how is the city benefiting from having the Land Bank do this work rather than trying to do it themselves?
Well, it takes the property management burden off the city. It relieves two departments, the real estate and housing department and the licensing and inspections departments, of responsibilities that were time-consuming and that were not particularly rewarding. So now that means that these two offices can presumably do a better job at the other things that they're responsible for doing. And in the long run, this procedure is also going to save the city some money because they don't have to sink their own costs in the future into boarding up properties, mowing the lawn, and all that sort of stuff.
And the expectation is that the city would also benefit in some other ways as well, not just by specifically dealing with these abandoned properties, but also what rehabbing these areas might mean for the city in other ways.
Well, absolutely. I mean, in the long run, instead of rundown properties on which taxes aren't being paid or were being paid late, you're going to have homes that are occupied by their owners who will be paying taxes and who will be caring for their neighborhoods. Getting rid of abandoned properties means fewer calls for fire, for police, for code enforcement officers. And I think, you know, beyond that, you know, there's an economic development issue here as well. I mean, you do the math, the city's got 1,400 abandoned properties, 140 of them are supposed to go over to the Land Bank. You take 140 properties and spend $100,000 on each of them in the next year or so, that's $14 million that's being pumped into the community for contractors, for retailers that are selling home improvement equipment and refrigerators and ovens and dishwashers and all that stuff. So, there's a big economic boost there. And of course, that means people are going to be put to work as well. So there's a lot that can go on here economically that the Land Bank can stimulate by getting these downtrodden properties into better hands, into the hands of people who really want to make them work.
And we've heard from more than one entity. I know the county has talked a lot about it as well, that taking care of these type of properties can really have an impact on crime as well. Is that something also that the city is hoping that it may have some impact as well?
Well, absolutely. I mean, and it's well known that vacant properties are crime magnets. And so if you remove the number of vacant properties in a neighborhood, you're very likely to remove the amount of crime that's going on there as well. You're going to have people watching. So that's another definitely a positive there.
So how has this worked elsewhere? Do we have any sense of what it would look like in a city that's at least maybe somewhat comparable to a Wilmington?
Well, I guess the one, well, let me just say, you know, there are about 200 of these nationwide. Some of the cities that have created land banks are Philadelphia, Chicago, New York City, Indianapolis, Greensboro, North Carolina. The list goes on and on. And in most of these instances, Christian Willauer tells me, there were neighborhoods that were in decline, and they've been turned around. The property values are increasing. Buyers are coming into these neighborhoods now. There's more interest in them, and the communities as a whole are improving. Looking for an example, Jocelyn Stewart at Barclay Card points to Syracuse, New York. Now, Syracuse is about twice the size of Wilmington, but again, it's an industrial city that has somewhat fallen on hard times over the last 50, 60 years. They created a land bank earlier in this decade. It's been in operation and actually accepting properties and reselling them for about 5 years. In that time, it has acquired 1,425 properties. It has sold 495 of them. It has demolished another 185. And in the process of this, it has generated for the city annually $884,000 in increased additional property taxes. Tax figures and rates vary considerably from city to city, but certainly that's a substantial amount of money for a city like Syracuse, and you can certainly expect that Wilmington should benefit as well.
And this is clearly a long game type of solution. It is something that requires maybe a little bit more patience and time than other things when you talk about economic development and some of these other benefits that hopefully will come out of this land bank.
Well, no, you're absolutely right about that. As I said, 1,400 abandoned properties in the city, 140 of them going over to the land bank by the end of this year. Christian Willauer expects that the inventory on a rolling basis as the operation starts going is going to be in the neighborhood of 300 properties a year. So even to take care of everything that the city has now and to turn that over, you're talking about a five-year plan, and that doesn't even include new properties that are going to come into the inventory. So, yeah, it is a long-term process, but if you can make this work, the prospects are very, very, very great. There's reason to be, I'm not sure if optimistic is the best word, but there's certainly reason to be hopeful that some of Wilmington's housing issues can be resolved through the land bank.